This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the book of Acts, chapter 26, verses 12 through 16. Again, that's Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 16. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. The Bible reads, Whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Again, I have read for you Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 16. May God continue to bless those who hear and do his will.
I'd like to start by saying good morning to everyone, to those of you that are here, to those who may be listening through our radio station or radio program. We want you to know, those of you that are visiting, you are indeed our most honored and esteemed guest. We'd like to invite you to hear a word from the Lord here at 9th and Main Church of Christ, where we seek to worship God in spirit and in truth, and we seek to have a Bible answer for every Bible question and a Bible verse for every Bible statement. This morning, we're going to be working with the subject, Transform to Work. This whole month, we've been dealing with the topic of being transformed through God's word, knowing God's will. Now, there's a purpose for this transformation, and what I want to do is use scripture, use the conversion account of Paul, and look at what the transformation process is, and then once we go through this process, what next? There has to be a purpose, a reason for God transforming us. And so with that, we'll look at Acts 26, which is amazing to me because three times in the book of Acts, we read of the conversion account of Paul. We see it in Acts chapter 9, again in Acts chapter 22, and then here in Acts chapter 26. But when we get to Acts chapter 26, this is Paul now on trial. And so it's amazing to me how many people in the Bible that God used were on trial. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how many people that God greatly used were either in jail or on trial? We have Daniel, we have Joseph, we have Paul and John and Peter, and even Jesus himself was placed on trial. This lets me know that if I'm going to be transformed and used by God, I'm going to have to go through some trials. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, My brethren, count it all joy when thou fall into diverse temptations, or knowing that the trying of your faith does work patience. But patience, when she's finished, it makes you complete, makes you perfect. And so we know that as a child of God, there are some times when we're going to have to be on trial. What do we do when we're on trial? What do we do when we go through not a trial in the courtroom, but a trial of life? What do we do in the midst of our trials? I find it interesting that Paul, think about it, the Apostle Paul, one who studied and was at the feet of such scholars, one who was Hebrew and one who knew different, many languages, one who had stamped approved seals from those in high offices. Paul, one who was born a Jew and yet was a citizen of Rome, he's on trial in front of King Agrippa, and of all the things Paul could have used to get out of this situation, Paul didn't use any of that. At this time, in Acts 26, we know Paul has obeyed the gospel. Paul has become an apostle. Paul is now preaching. He's teaching. And Paul could have easily performed a miracle. Paul could have easily spoken in tongue. Paul could have talked his way out. But instead, it's as if in the middle of this trial, God uses Paul to tell his conversion account. Three times he does this. Twice he's on trial when he does it. And this leads me to believe that in the midst of my trials, I still need to be willing to tell someone about Jesus. In the midst of no matter what I'm going through, no matter how hard it may seem, I still need to be able to tell someone what God has done for me and is doing to me through his word. Paul gives three things when we look at Acts 26, beginning at verse 9 all the way through verse 18. Paul gives three things in his conversion account to King Agrippa. Number one, Paul gives truth, his truth. Number two, Paul gives his transformation. And number three, Paul gives his task. Those are the three points I want to look at this morning. We'll look at Paul's truth, Paul's transformation, and then we'll look at Paul's task. And this is to help us to know what to do when we're going through our trials, also how to handle God's transforming process. So in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 9, the Bible says, and this is King James Version, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. We're going to look at Paul's truth. Paul is giving King Agrippa the truth. He's saying, King Agrippa, let me, before you give your sentence, before you issue out whatever it is, your verdict, let me tell you the truth. Here's what I used to do. Here's what I was following. Here's what I was believing before I was shown the truth. And I find it interesting that we live in a world today where everyone seems to have their own truth. This is my truth and that's your truth, or his truth and her truth may differ from what thus says the Lord. And so what I see here, Paul truly believing the persecution he was doing it for the name of the Lord, or he was doing it for God's sake. Paul honestly believed he was being zealous. He was not doing this just out of fear or just out of hypocrisy or even out of the love of persecuting people. Paul was very zealous in what he was doing. Some say he may have even got the idea from Phinehas, and as zealous as he was, and we know that example that he used when there was people in God's temple doing things they should not have done, and he took the spear, he took the javelin, and drove it through them. Paul having the same persona that if there are those who are speaking against God, they're going around preaching this name of Jesus, they need to be stopped at whatever cost. If I have to go into their houses and drag them through the streets, if I have to throw them in prison, if I have to cast my vote that they be put to death, so be it. Paul honestly believed he was following God, not man. And here's what I've learned. In order for the transformation process to begin, we must first put aside our own truth, what we think is right, and put it up to God's truth. You would be amazed at how many people still today are following their own truth. You would be you may not actually be amazed, but there are many today who believe that they are serving God in spirit and in truth. They believe wholeheartedly that they are living lives that are pleasing to God, and yet they have no scripture to back up the lives that they're living. They have no scripture to back up the things that they're doing. You have people who believe that God would absolutely love this type of music. If it sounds good to me, it has to sound good to him. And yet have no scripture to back up this statement. You have some that believe that women do such a great job with teaching, and they do. And obviously they could do a better job and just have a better way with words. We should get up and let them preach and let them be elders and let them lead worship service. But yet we have no scripture to back this claim. And so what we have to do, just like Paul, in order for a transformation to begin, there's two questions that need to be asked. This same conversion account in Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, Paul asks two questions. Number one, he says, "Lord, who art thou?" The first question that needs to be asked and answered before transformation can begin is, who is the Lord? Who is he? We need to search that, and we need to come to a Bible answer, not what Google says, not what friends say, not what he say, she say, but what does the scripture say? Number two, he says, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Not what do I want? What do I think is right? Because Paul was doing what he thought was right until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and told him what he was actually doing. So Paul literally had to humble himself down or pull away his truth or as James 1:21 would say, lay aside. There's some things we have to lay aside. And then after we lay aside these things, we can receive with meekness through the scriptures, of course, the things God would have us to know. Now, I'm not sure exactly, because I'm not coming down the aisles. I'm not coming down your street. But I know that there are things in our lives that hinder us from going through the transformation God has for us. And whether it be a truth that you've learned from the past, whether it be a tradition you've learned from your family, from your fathers, whether it be an idea that you've heard and it just sounds good, so it has to make sense, there is a point in time where we have to put down what we believe is right and start acknowledging, studying, and obeying what God says is right. The only thing worse than a lie is a lie that's been accepted as the truth. Paul wasn't necessarily believing a lie, but he was so busy following traditions. In fact, the whole reason he's on trial is because after his transformation, he started challenging their tradition. He started challenging the very thing he was promoting, the very people he was persecuting. Now he's preaching to them. And this upset the Jews to the point that they wanted to pull Paul apart, to the point where he's speaking to King Agrippa, and King Agrippa says, "Paul, much learning has made thee mad." And that word "mad" is translated maniac. Paul, you sound foolish in what you're trying to tell. You're trying to tell me the people we were giving you the approval, we were giving you our stamps, our seal of approval to go and persecute, that you've joined onto their band, you've joined the bandwagon, and now instead of persecuting them, you're preaching the very message they were preaching. Yes, because Paul had to put aside his tradition. Paul said, I was of the strictest of set. That means this wasn't just something taught and then I let it go out the ear. This is something I followed wholeheartedly. And listen to me, just because granddad believed it and dad believed it doesn't mean it's right. Just because this is what we've done, this is the way we've always done it, that doesn't make it right. Paul had to accept God's truth and not his truth. We read it this morning, John 17:17, "Sanctify them by thy truth." What is truth? Pilate wanted to know, what is truth? Jesus gave the answer: thy word is truth. God's word is it's the truth. In fact, Jesus would even say, I am the truth, the way, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. And so we know Jesus to be the truth because that's who appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Now, before transformation can begin, the truth has to be told. That's not just for non-members. That's for members as well. Keep in mind, it was after Paul was transformed, after he obeyed the truth, he went and shared the truth with others. Paul gives his conversion account 3 times, and he didn't hold back. Some people call it spilling the beans or spilling the tea. Paul gave all the details. And what I found in the church today is we don't mind telling people about Christ. We don't mind telling people how Christ has transformed us, how Christ has changed us, how the Word of God has made us a better person. But we like to leave out details. We like to leave out things that may kind of make us look bad. Well, I wasn't that bad before I obeyed the gospel. There were some things I did ignorantly, but that's behind me now. Listen, I know the truth can be offensive, but in the courtroom, they ask for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Do you know that there are some people in this world today who may be struggling with the same thing that God has blessed you to overcome? But if you're holding back, you're hiding your truth, you're just only giving the good, you're not giving the bad and the ugly, you're only giving the good parts, they may never know that there's hope for them. Paul's entire transformation, Paul's entire conversion, Paul's entire life is a big, bright neon billboard sign that says God can change anyone. Anyone. And he wasn't just doing that with Paul. He does that with us today. Sometimes we hold back the truth because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Sometimes it may not even be to hurt our face. Sometimes it may be to spare their feelings. But listen, I am under the conviction that I would rather tell you the truth and hurt your feelings and risk one of us going to heaven than to keep letting you believe a lie and risk both of us going to hell. That is my conviction, that the truth needs to be told. Because after the truth is told, truth can be accepted. Once truth is accepted, the transformation can begin. Let's look at the transformation. Still in Acts chapter 26, now beginning at verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me with them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, I want to use this verse. I want to pinpoint in verse 14 how Paul's transformation took place. Because when we look at Acts 26 and we look at Acts 22, it's as if one moment Paul is on his way to persecute. He's on the road to Damascus. He gets knocked down. He's blinded. And all of a sudden he gets up. He's converted. And now he's preaching. Now he's this apostle. Now he's this overall transformed man, as if his transformation happened like that. And too many times in today, even in the Lord's church, many people walk away. Many people obey the gospel, and that transformation is starting to happen, but they walk away because they believe, I haven't changed yet. There's some things I haven't quite gotten rid of yet, so I must wasn't truly converted. Friends, that is not scriptural. Just because one struggles with a particular fault, a particular something, a particular truth, a particular ideal, dare I say a particular sin, a particular struggle, that doesn't mean you weren't transformed or that transformation isn't taking place. That just means there's still some grounding to be done. The heart is soil, Luke 8, We know this from Luke chapter 8. And we know that some soil is stony. Some soil is rocky. Some soil is smooth. Some soil is already plowed. But sometimes it takes a little longer to work with that soil. And so just because transformation isn't happening in a moment, we can't get frustrated and give up. Verse 14 of Acts 26 says, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." The New King James Version will say goads. This word goads is a farming tool. It's a tool that farmers would use as they were goading the oxen, as they were are keeping the ox in line. They would take this stick, and it would have a long pointy end. And if at any time that oxen strayed from the path, or that oxen began to kick up or give some kickback, the farmer would take the prick and he'd jab it in the hind legs of that ox. Jesus told Paul, he says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Not just Christians, you're persecuting me. While you're doing this, Paul, you're kicking against the pricks, and it's futile. This lets me know that on the road to Damascus, Jesus appearing to Paul, this can't be the first time Paul has thought about this. Because he says, "It's hard for thee to kick," in the New King James, it's showing the activity of kicking, as if, "Paul, you've been resisting for quite some time now. Why do you keep kicking?" To tell you that it's futile means you've been kicking for a while now. It's time to stop. When we read verses 9 through 11, Paul is telling Agrippa what he used to do. When we start in the beginning of chapter 26, Paul says, "I'm happy, King Agrippa." Paul is happy. Paul is not happy about what he used to do. He's happy because now I get to share with you what God has changed me from. But before I can show you what I am, let me tell you what I was. I don't see Paul being happy telling King Agrippa of what happened in his past from verses 9 to 11. Meaning this is a man who's speaking out of regret. This is a man not happy for the things he's done, but I need to tell you this because I need to show you how God can use anyone. Why are you pointing out the regret of 9 through 11, Brother Hatchett? Because if he's regretting it while he's telling it, I wonder if he was regretting it while he was doing it. In Acts chapter 7, at the stoning of Stephen, a young man by the name of Saul was there. I'm under the impression that when Stephen was stoned and put to death, he didn't just go out quietly. Stephen preached up into his very last breath. Stephen spoke up into his very last breath. If Paul was close enough to lay the clothes, he was close enough to hear the sermon. Bible says that they were cut to the hearts. It's funny how in Acts 2 they were pricked. In Acts 26, Paul is kicking against the pricks. In Acts chapter 7, they were cut. We don't know if Paul is seeing this and he's thinking to himself, why do these people keep giving their lives for this? King Agrippa couldn't understand it. Paul, you're on trial. You do know you could be put to death, right? And you're still preaching. Even in the courtroom right now, you're trying to preach to me this Jesus. Much learning has made you mad. And King Agrippa says something that I'm convinced had to be happening to Paul. He says, "Almost thou persuadest me." Not because Paul did a miracle. Not because Paul spoke in tongues. Paul literally just preached while he was on trial. What did Stephen do while they were stoning him? I am under the impression Paul saw this. And while he was arresting Christians, God was arresting his heart. The transformation was taking place even as far back as Acts chapter 7. You don't see the transformation until Acts chapter 9. What am I trying to say? Transformation is not a moment, it's a process. It takes time. I literally Googled how long it takes a caterpillar to turn into a butterfly, and it said 10 to 14 days. But that's an insect life. Imagine our life. It could be 10 to 14 months, 10 to 14 weeks, maybe even 10 to 14 years. But just because people aren't changing when you want them to doesn't mean you stop giving them the truth. What would have happened if Jesus stopped giving Paul the truth because Paul continued to persecute? What if when he told Barnabas and when he told the others to go and teach this Paul, they were afraid. We see they were afraid. What if they said, well, no, Lord, I won't go because this man who you're telling me to go preach to, he's the one that's been doing the most damage. There's no way he'll change. How many times have we given up on someone because they didn't change when we thought they should? Never give up on someone. Never stop telling the truth because you don't know when the transformation will take place. I'm under the impression also that there are some of us who give up too soon. Because we've been struggling with this sin, I told you 10 to 14 days, maybe 10 to 14 weeks, maybe 10 to 14 years. I don't know how long it may take you to come over that mountain, but I promise if you keep climbing, you'll make it to the top someday. We see the truth. We see his transformation. Now there's only one question left. Why was Paul converted? He gives the answer. In Acts chapter 26, let's drop down to verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Why, Jesus? To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Unto whom now I send thee. Why? What are you going to do, Paul? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul was not just converted or transformed just to sit down and enjoy the blessings of God. Once you see why, you see his truth, you see his transformation, and you see his task, once you see why Paul was transformed, now you have to ask one more question. Why was I converted? God did not transform us to be pew sitters. God did not transform us just so we and our families could be saved and we're good. That's it. No. As soon as Saul... The Bible tells us for he didn't eat for about 3 days. There was some thinking that had to go on. There was some changing that had to take place. So I'm under the impression if Paul is fasting, he's probably praying too. If Paul is fasting and praying, he's probably reconsidering some things. So there's some transformation that had to take place. But once that transformation took place, Paul didn't just sit there. He couldn't. There was something that had to be shared, something that had to be told. Paul was given a task just as soon as he was transformed. You and I have been given a task. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach. If they happen to get baptized, continue to teach. I find it amazing. We aren't the ones that give the increase. We're just the planters and the waterers. I don't know how long that seed may take to grow, but you keep watering. You keep planting. We have a task. Let's get on our task. In order for us to be transformed like Paul, we must ask the same questions that he asked. Lord, who are you? And what will you have me to do? This morning, if you have not obeyed the truth, let's accept God's truth, not our truth, so that we can be transformed. And then we can start doing the task that God has given us. We all have a task this morning. Now, how you accomplish that task, he gave you free rein. But just know that there is a task. If you are not a child of God, you haven't been given that task. You have been tasked with the the question of what must I do to be saved? And I'm so glad you're here this morning, because I'm like Paul now. It's not by circumstance, but perhaps for this reason you're here today, that you could hear what God would have you to do. You could hear God's truth. What is his truth? We must hear that truth. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Once we hear God's truth, we have to believe that truth, that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world, died so that you and I could be reconciled. Hebrews 11:6. Once we believe this, we must be willing to turn like Paul did. Paul turned. There was a complete transformation. And then once he was saved, he had to go talk to others, teach others so that they could turn. You and I must be turned from our sins. Luke 13:3. We must confess what we have heard, what we now believe, what we have turned from, and who we have turned to. Matthew 10:32-33. We must confess Jesus publicly before men. After this confession, we must be willing to be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. That's a complete burial of the old man, coming out of the cocoon. And I know, hear me, sometimes it takes a little longer. Sometimes you may just get a leg out. Sometimes you'll have a whole wing out. But whatever you do, don't stop learning, don't stop growing, and don't stop teaching. We see Paul's truth. We see Paul's transformation. We see Paul's task. Brothers, sisters, you and I were transformed as well. We were transformed and given a task. So let's get on our task. If you are a child of God, you've been transformed, but you've allowed something to halt your transformation so that you can be completely transformed into who God has called you to be, so that you can be used to continue to teach. Something's halting it. Maybe it's a truth. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe it's a sin. And you're trying to let it go. Won't you come forward this morning and let the brothers pray for you? Let us pray for you that God will grant you strength through his studying, through your continual effort, through your continual coming, that you can overcome this, and you will. If you're not a child of God, I plead with you, come be transformed today as we together stand and sing.